Listening to the Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Cannabis Hangout. My name is Saab.
And I'm Brannon.
Today we're going to be having a cannabis conversation with my friend John. Back in the day, John and I worked together for a numerous amount of years and we connected over technology and cannabis. And that's kind of how we've kept in touch, mostly through weed, but a little bit through technology. And I wanted to bring John on the podcast because we haven't gotten a lot of insight on concentrate users as patients. So the purpose for today's podcast is we're going to have John talk about all things concentrates and break it down for you guys in a way that you can understand as a patient. So everyone, welcome John to the Cannabis Hangout.
Welcome, John. So I'm just going to kind of start. I know that obviously Saba knows you a lot. I just met you.
Hey, hey.
So just kind of tell anyone who's listening a little bit about yourself and when you started using cannabis.
Yeah. I turned 30 this year. I've been using cannabis for about, I would say 12 years since I was 18.
Okay.
I first got exposed to it in college. Moving from small town to big city. Mm-hmm. And, that was a major game changer for me. Being in small town, I had a lot of like undiagnosed anxiety my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And that all stemmed from PTSD from when I was, five. My parents left me and my brother alone and went to a wedding,
mm-hmm.
One night when it was storming really bad and our house got destroyed by lightning.
Oh my gosh.
While
oh my
we gosh. Were alone. I know.
It's while hard, you it's two funny. Were
I
alone.
Never knew that. That's crazy. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so lightning, I remember pretty vividly because I was sitting on the couch watching the Flintstones movie with John Goodman.
How old were you?
I was five.
And he was?
My brother would have been 11.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so at least he was
a little bit more.
Yeah, we were
like
a little bit younger. We were young. And
yeah.
Like,
but still.
Yeah, and yeah, so yeah, left us alone to go to this wedding and it was storming. And yeah, unfortunately, like lightning struck our house in two different places, struck our chimney and then another part of our house. And it blew up our chimney and blew a hole in the house and set everything on fire. And
what did y'all do?
Freaked out. I was six. So
yeah,
I was just, you know, five,
bless your
six.
Heart.
I was just running
yeah,
around
oh my
like
gosh.
Screaming. And yeah, we like you were throwing shit down in the basement and just freaking mm-hmm. out or whatever. And that after the, you know, post that, it's all fuzzy and hazy or whatever. But that
right.
was like
that's
the
crazy.
Birth of my anxiety throughout
yeah,
the rest of my life.
That's quite traumatizing.
That's
yeah,
very
only a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, worked through all that. And then, you know, a small town and just general laws and stigma of marijuana made it impossible to attain or look into at all. And
mm-hmm.
then through college and just general happenstance through friends and stuff like that, I happened to try it and you know, see those medical benefits
yeah,
for
mm-hmm.
its, you know, depression and anxiety qualities and sleep mainly. And
yeah.
Did you grow up in Oklahoma?
Like I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in very small town, western Oklahoma.
Okay.
Where it's definitely illegal and frowned upon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's kind of just start with a basis. If obviously there's lots of different variables to concentrate. Sorry, I'm losing my thought. John gave us a dab of grape and sun before, and it's kind of slowing me down here mentally.
Hey.
But so for somebody who's new into concentrates, doesn't know what it is, like just give a quick rundown on dabs. Like what are dabs? Just for somebody who has no idea, smokes flower,
yeah.
is new into the game and has just...
So, I mean, dabs or, I mean, there's various different words for it. Just general concentrates are concentrated THC or other cannabinoids. Dabs don't just have to be THC. There are CBD dabs. There are CBN dabs. It just
oh,
depends
wow.
on how they can, mm-hmm. how they can, you know, isolate and concentrate those things. But that's essentially what it is. It's a, you know, combustionless, method of ingesting marijuana.
Pretty potent.
It is extremely potent. Yes, typically when you're concentrating that's the point of that. It's getting everything, if you will.
Yeah. And
there's various methods to that as well.
So when you started your journey, did you start, which obviously I think back then. You're a little bit older than me. Back then, they didn't, dabs like weren't very known, or I don't know, like were they? I don't know.
So not necessarily. I mean, they were, just not in our market. And not in Oklahoma, not whenever mm-hmm. I started smoking. It was whatever flower you could get that was from whatever wherever, state was legal yeah. that drove it in, you yeah. know what I mean? So dabs were usually not a part of that. Cause it does take, you know, it's much different than just flower. It takes a lot of mass to actually mm-hmm. make those concentrates. So prices vary depending on what extraction method you're using
yeah.
and who's providing it.
Mm-hmm. So you started with flower, and when do you remember the first time you took a dab?
Yes. Good God.
Tell us how story. Yeah. Tell us the story we want to hear.
Yeah. That comes in hot. So yeah, first time I actually took like a real solid dab, was actually after I got my card. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get into this game. And I went and got some White Moose Shatter from Electroleaf downtown. And it was like lemon cookie shatter, I believe was what it was.
Okay. I just want to stop and say really quick, I had no idea that you just recently got into
yeah.
When it became legalized, I had no idea about that. I thought you've been dabbing for like ever.
No.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, keep going. Sorry. Definitely that's no, crazy. No.
Been dabbing pretty exclusively for about a year, year and a half.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So not until after I got my card. But yeah, the experience was just insane as far as how much, more intense mm-hmm. the effect was for how much little effort I put in.
Yeah.
How much little I did.
Yes.
You know, there's much less smell overall, like on your person. You don't necessarily mm-hmm. smell like flower, although I loves that. Yeah. You know, that's I'm definitely not hating on that, but some people do. So,
yeah.
Just there was a lot of benefits there for that throughout the day, and the high just feels a lot cleaner to me rather than that flower combustion with it.
Yeah.
And after you dab for a while, unless you're smoking really, really good flower, it just doesn't cut it anymore because you're getting all that terpene profile.
I feel
you're getting
that.
All so that flavor. What you're saying, you get all the terpene profile and flavor. Mm-hmm. What do you think is like personally the benefits of using concentrates like versus maybe flower? Like, do you think there's like, what do you think about that? The benefits of that specifically.
So it's a much faster delivery system for okay. me, at least. Especially,
that's a good way to describe it.
Everybody's tolerance is always different. Everybody's mm-hmm. experience with cannabis is absolutely different. It's always going to be that way. For me, even though I've been smoking flower for a long time, that tolerance level builds to where, yeah, you need quite a bit more flower or different flower all the time.
Yeah. Yes, I feel that.
I never have that experience with concentrates. Every single time I've ever used a concentrate, it always works for me usually. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier to find specific terpene profiles and specific concentrations that you're looking for. Yeah. So say that I like, you know, a whole bunch of carophyllene. I'm like, oh, cool. Well, I can shop around for concentrates that have a terpene profile on them that are high carophyllene, high linalool, high stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I find that easier than, you know, looking at a flower, looking at their test results, yes. and then mm-hmm. wondering whether or not I'm getting a mixed batch or, you know what, it's,
right. You know, things like that. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a really good way to put it, I think.
It's a really good perspective, I feel like.
Yeah.
So with concentrates, there's multiple different realms yes. of
what different types, kinds. So shatter, rosin, different categories. Yeah. Like what are the differences in these? The consistencies?
And are the highs, like I know with obviously flower and like cartridges, I know the mm-hmm. highs vary. That's kind of a bad, but like I know a different flower, I feel different, like with hydroponic versus like mm-hmm. you know. So you feel different things, and you definitely notice those things. Do you find the same with like shatter versus wax versus like, you know, brands that do different things? Like
what are the differences in those first, yeah. maybe, and then what
do you find different, like various highs between like shatter, you know, all that stuff?
Yeah. So really, concentrates can be broken down into two different categories these days, and that's solventless and solvent. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, ones that use ice water to make hash and then press that hash with rosin, or just use flour to press rosin with just heat and pressure, or solvents who use, you know, butane, propane, or I mean, there's a variety of other ones that people use, CO2, for instance, like, you know, Mammoth, mm-hmm. to get those extractions. They both have their positives and benefits. You know, I prefer, I lean towards more the show side, the solventless hash oil side for, mm-hmm. for ice water hash. But yeah, they both definitely have their pluses and minuses. As far as, I'll just go through show first, as far as like solventless hash oil goes, that's to me, the cleanest possible form of medicine, the cleanest and most possible potent form of medicine that you can get out of the plant.
Mm-hmm. Solventless hash oil.
Yeah. That's what we do at the Y99. You did just a little bit. That's that from Hilltop.
Yeah.
That's it where you go BHO, your butane hash oil, PHO, propane hash oil. HO is usually the second half of all those.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to me, it's just the purest form and most potent form that you can get. A long time ago, Afghani and Indian Pakistani zone, Europe, all of them, they realized a long time ago that, all the benefit of that is in the resin glands. It's not necessarily the plant material. It's those resin glands that's producing that has that.
Interesting.
That has all those terpenes in it, that has the stuff that the CBD that gets us where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking that out of the plant, refining it down, getting the purest form of it, and then intaking that, I think you're going to get the best flavor, what it's actually supposed to taste like, mm-hmm. without any of the plant material, without any of the combustion. It's good.
Yeah. So now that you say that and I'm observing the high that I feel right now, I do feel like it's very clean. I feel very clear headed, even mm-hmm. though it's Grapenstein is more of a hybrid, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more into cleaning hybrid. I feel not that, I feel very, I can think this through. Yes. I'm a little bit high, but it's not overwhelming. It feels very clean, I could probably do a couple more and probably be fine and be high. Yeah. But now that you say that, I feel like I'll probably notice more, but do you find some companies who do use BHO to be more harsh when you dab them versus the solventless, or do you not really notice a difference?
It really depends on the processor and on how well they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There can be really bad BHO and there could be really, really good BHO.
Yeah.
It just depends on the methods that they use, mm-hmm. and the starting material that they use as well.
Yeah.
If you fire in, fire out is the statement all the time.
Yeah.
It's really hard to fire in, fire out with BHO though, a lot of the times.
Okay. That's interesting.
With BHO, you can use, significantly less quality material. You can use biomass or other things because mm-hmm. you're just blasting it all with solvent. So mm-hmm. you're taking it all out that way. Whereas you're washing trichrome heads off with solventless.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it bad, and it doesn't make BHO processors bad because they can get medicine out there quicker and in higher quantities and at a cheaper price.
That's the next thing.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. That does not make that bad. Mm-hmm. It makes it accessible and available for people.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, there is bad BHO. Of course you can make it.
Totally.
Yeah. There are dudes that make it in their garage. It can be done.
Sketchy.
Yeah. You can buy a full kit on Amazon. It still gets that out there to the patient, and depending on if they're using live material, cured material, mm-hmm. they can still preserve terpene profiles really well and still allow that option of specific terpenes. And
right.
Yeah. I feel like Sunday Extracts does a really good job of that. They provide a lot of cool and consistent strains, very new, but you can always still find their old strains, which is nice because I'm always seeing new, fresh stuff from them.
Yeah.
But I always see Golden Goat and the ones that, the staples that people really like, the Pura Vida, they always have those available for patients, which I think is really cool. That's interesting that you say that because you also just said before we hopped on the mic that some dispensaries only get a very limited drop of hash
mm-hmm.
or live rosin. And, for those who are listening and listen to what John just said, it's interesting because prices, when I go in and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm having to spend $80 on that. yikes, you saying that makes me realize there's so much more behind it. And even just saying the cleanliness of the high and all the stuff. Now I'm like, okay, now that I understand, I'm more likely to be open to buying stuff like that. So I feel like that was a misconception on my part.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm segueing into, do you find there to be a lot of misconceptions in the concentrate world for either beginners, people who have already been doing it, anything like that?
Absolutely. There's a lot as far as that goes. You never really know what type of concentrate you're getting,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be trim run, nug run, if it's if it's going to be a live or cured resin. So some places will put what's going to be on there,
mm-hmm.
but knowing what type of flower went into that is super important on whether or not I'll buy something, especially with terpene profiles.
Mm-hmm.
Cured resin. If you're making, BHO from flower that's been cured,
mm-hmm.
The terpene degradation there has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And blasting that is not going to do a lot to preserve those terps. Mm-hmm. So probably not going to have a really fine in starting material, but hey, that's going to be a cheaper option.
Yeah.
So, to me, I'd probably avoid that.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, at that point, if you're paying for concentrates, I prefer the best quality possible.
Totally. So. Yeah. I feel like that's one of, like, I think the biggest misconceptions is people always want, like, shatter because it's cheapest and blah, blah, blah. But they also don't know, like, what the end result is or what all that's going behind the, like, the art of making the product.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like, I mean, you even just educating me on that, I feel like I've kind of been ignorant to that. But now that we talked the other day and we talked today, and I'm like, okay, that makes so much more sense because it's such an intricate process and people only get limited drops of it because it is so expensive.
Yes.
That it makes it more of like a niche market, which makes it more attractive. I mean, I think so.
There's like a high demand for it, but
that's
limit.
That's why I was saying we're kind of living in the golden age of hash at the moment in Oklahoma, because we have such a great market and great system here that we have so many awesome growers and so many awesome farms that a lot of them are getting into the like single source hash game, if you will, at the moment. So they're growing their own and they're dedicating own parts of their own crop directly to hash for these drops. So that's where you're seeing these like Leaf Logic collaborations with like PRG and stuff like that right now. That's why you're getting
awesome. They're collabing.
I know. It's dope to see people. Stein. Yeah. So. Yo, shout out to those brands.
That's good hard work.
I know. And like you feel it. Like I feel it. I feel amazing. And I feel like I didn't damage my lungs. Like I feel very clean. Well, being high, and it's a
I enjoy
awesome
it.
Yeah, I'm very enjoying it.
Do you smoke? So do you buy flower at all? Still,
absolutely.
Are you okay?
I grow, so yeah.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So you do edibles too, right?
Yeah.
So you just that's cool that you're diverse in it. Mm-hmm. What was where my question was going? With that?
Your question was going is we had talked about you were harvesting.
Yeah.
What are you doing with your harvest? Tell us about that.
So yeah, I intend on washing and doing my own hash on this one.
Yeah, which is exciting. And you've probably been doing a lot of research. What do you anticipate it to be like? Are you anticipating, because obviously it's usually trial and error.
Yeah.
What's that process going to look? Is it going to be like a 2-day process?
Yeah, like what are you following?
Yeah,
to,
what
to
do you
like
follow?
Know what to do? So, like, are you reading instructions? You know?
So major shout out to growweedeasy.com. That is
simple.
Person I've ever told any advice to or anything, just go to growweedeasy.com. Okay. It's been a community sourced website for years and it has every single info you could possibly need and great advice.
Great resource.
Yeah, good to know.
That's what it is. Growweedeasy.com. It's super easy. We'll give you everything you need. Through that. But I plan on washing and making my own hash out of this most recent harvest that I've got coming up. It's just mandarin cookies right now. I'm probably about 3 weeks away or so. Four weeks away. I expect to screw it up, actually. I don't expect to necessarily get a great yield out of it. Washing that with bubble bags. I intend to chop the plant, freeze it directly overnight for about 36 or so hours, and then wash that whole plant with ice water and send it through the micron screens to collect those trichrome heads. And then from there, after that dries, I'll smash that with a rosin press, the dab press.
That's cool.
Is the brand.
That's crazy. And do you already have the dot press?
Yeah.
That's so dope. So are you going to...
How much is a dot press?
I have a 10-ton dab press and it was $500.
Okay. That's not horrible.
And I got it through before quarantine and COVID and stuff happened. So it was...
Yo, that's going to be game changing if you can just chill at home, grow your own weed and make your own dabs. Like you literally never have to spend money if you don't want to.
You said you chose so awesome. Mandarin cookies. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Why did you choose that strain specifically?
I'm an Ethos fanboy. They're the first stuff that I started growing, and I'm one of the Ethos multipass members. I didn't bring my card.
Who don't know, what is Ethos?
Ethos is the genetics company out of Colorado. Colin Gordon is the guy that runs them.
Okay.
They're responsible for strains like Mandarin Cookies and Apex, Blueberry Obama. It's super popular stuff that's out recently or that's been crossed into a lot of their stuff.
Okay.
Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. It's just one of your favorite strains.
Yeah, Mandarin's so good. Definitely one of my favorite strains, hands down.
Okay.
As far as like an actual fruity and gassy profile, that stuff is the jam. When done right, it's great.
So speaking of profile, I don't know how it works for patients, but let's say everything goes according to plan. Are you wanting to get your stuff tested? Can patients get their stuff tested? How does that work? Do you know about that?
So I have had my original grows tested.
Okay.
When I had a crop of lilac diesel tested last year, I had Fast Labs do that.
Yeah.
That was pre-Unity bill. And I'm not positive on the legality of going forward. But
gotcha. Okay.
I believe you still can. I'm pretty positive you still can.
Interesting.
Actually.
That's cool.
For me, it was, I did have to pay, but I was able to get a terpene and THC cannabinoid profile test, and that was awesome. I'll totally do it again for this most recent stuff.
That would be really cool to see, because then you could really see, like, did the plant go right? You know, just like all the things. That's very interesting.
That was my whole point of doing the last one. I was like, I got to see if I screwed this up. It definitely smells like I didn't screw it up, but
that's a good sign.
You got to try some of it. So yeah.
Yeah. I tried his lilac diesel and it was actually really great. Yeah. That's really awesome. It was really cool smoking flower from somebody that I knew that grew it at their house. It was just more special. I was like, holy shit.
John grew this.
Yeah. We definitely haven't done that, but it was really cool. Like, just it felt
instant appreciation
that, and it just felt very full circle. It was cool. So gonna switch it up a little bit. Cold start. So we just took a cold start dab, and I've done it like once or twice before. We had done it the other night, but tell our listeners, and Brandon didn't know what a cold start was before.
Yes.
So one thing that I hate when I take dabs and makes me a little bit weary and turned off is my lungs burning because, and then this is going to segue into another question, but temperature. So what is a cold start? And then for those who don't do cold starts, what's a good way to gauge your temperature without using like a turbometer or like one of those fancy, you know, temperature reading tools? Because that's one thing that I have a really hard time with, and I always burn my lungs, is temperature.
Well, as I say, you and me have Rios. It's super easy to blast on there. You know, just use the little turn knob. But every banger is different.
Yeah.
So some people have, you know, they have e-nails, or they have a titanium nail, or they have, you know, we have quartz, things like that. So everything has different heat up temperatures and cool down temperatures. And you just kind of have to get a feel for that with your banger. And that always just takes a little bit of trial and error. Personally with me, and with like, you know, hash rosin, I'll cold start it, like you're saying, I'll throw the dab in there prior.
Mm-hmm.
I'll heat it up until it just completely all melts, not necessarily until it's, you know, on fire or anything like that, just until it melts. Then I'll turn off the heat and take the dab then. And it's usually recommended to do hash real low temp if you can, lowest temp you can,
just
to preserve the temps and things like that. And that's just how I prefer to do it. Like it's just an easier, colder dab.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's the tastiest way to do it for me.
So like, what's the temp on?
Like ballpark, just like what ballpark, what do you think the temp would be
to for make it a cold start? Is that
it's,
what you're saying?
So it's not on
cold,
anything.
Yeah,
cold start is just like you're just lighting your, it. It's literally just there, and then you start it and you light it.
But typically like around 500 or so is what you want to do a rosin dab at, is what most people would say. So if you're sitting there, you know, blazing down one, what I do, my usual go-to if I'm like breaking in a new banger, my go-to advice would be to heat it up until you see a little bit of the red on the bottom, like just until it starts to glow, not entirely get the whole, don't get the whole thing just scorching red to where it'll, you know, set a tissue on fire if you see it next to it or something, but just get it until it starts to glow and then back off, literally start a timer and wait 50 seconds.
Okay.
And then throw your dab in there.
Cool.
That's good to know.
If you're going to hot start, I always say get it to glow just a little bit and then wait 50 seconds.
That's a good key.
Yeah,
good
sometimes tool. I get mine scorching red, and you're not supposed to do that because it messes up the banger.
Exactly.
So those who are listening, do not do that. Do not make mistakes.
A little bit of TLC goes a long, long way with bangers.
Yeah.
So if you were a first-time concentrate user, what kind of dabbing tool like would you recommend for somebody that's like not too extreme?
Yeah.
Something that's easy, but...
So there's a ton of really good starting options. I highly recommend, for example, like the Boundless Terp Pen is a really good cheap and small device. It's a little e-device. You can actually just dab out of the container that the dab is in. There's also, if you want to go into a little more high class area of that, there's the e-rig step up, probably be the Puffco Plus. And those are ceramic chambers, and those are actually pretty great. I've got a friend that has one of those, and that's like his daily driver. Like that's what he uses all day long. Or there's other like smaller e-rigs too that you can get that are around the same price. Those are just kind of the more name brand ones.
That's cool. That pin sounds nice.
Yeah, that pin sounds really nice.
I want to try that.
Yeah, I actually have tried it.
Most places around the city.
Yeah, and I think they're only like $50, $60. They're really not that bad.
It's like a terp pin?
It's called Boundless Terp Pin, I believe is the brand.
I think Morgan might have them at his dispensary.
I think so too.
So compare that to like a nectar collector. Is a nectar collector like something to stay away from? Because I had originally got that because I thought that would be the easiest way.
Yeah.
But like 2 months getting into it, I was like, I fucking hate this. I like don't like this because I had no control over the titanium, like, you know, and I just like
I felt like I was wasting my dabs. Obviously, there's no real way to clean it because everything gets gunked up in there and it's really freaking gross. So would, if you're going to spend the money, it's better to do it in a pen versus like multiple nectar collectors.
I would recommend these days, there's just really good, really cheap electronic options that are so much easier on your lungs, your wallet, and just your sanity.
Yeah.
Because like having to learn the process and the techniques of getting dabs right to where you want them is just almost unnecessary at this point.
It's almost
more the art heady side of things than it is the necessity side of things.
Because the technology's evolving with it.
I think about getting Puffco Plus all the time. I'm like, man, this just goes in my pocket. It's got a little thing on the end. I'm just like, oh, cool.
That would be really game changing.
Dang. Like the technology is there. We have the tech.
Interesting. Okay. We love technology around here. It makes life easier. So my last question is going to be, as an advanced user, what's something beginners to concentrates would benefit from knowing?
And I say this with other stuff too. If you get the opportunity, shop with your nose.
Okay.
Don't just look at the THC content. Don't just look at the terp numbers, all that stuff like that. If they actually will let you smell something or if they have testers, shop with your nose. If it smells like something you're going to like, your body's going to like it too. And that's just always a fair estimate for me with most cannabis products.
Same. I feel very same with that.
Do most dispensaries let you smell their concentrates?
So,
what do you... Do you just ask if it's like, if they're not like, you know, offering it and you're trying to look for something, do you ask if like you can smell it?
Some places will have testers. Yeah.
Okay.
So some won't, some are pre-sealed.
Right.
Most of these places will provide them with a tester that you can whiff.
Okay. So you could just ask like, do you have a tester of that I could smell?
Yeah. Most of the places. So if you're going to like the hash drop zones, Tegrity's, like for example, I live down on May, so like Tegrity's my drop zone for all that kind of stuff.
So where they're known for, that's what they do anyways.
Yeah. They'll have a little display, mm-hmm. like, yo, can I check out any of the new drops? They'll throw it out and hey, there's all the new Smith Valley.
And you're welcome to smell them with them.
Yeah. Most of the time they're pretty on board with it. If they're a shop that's, you know, has a lot of rosin, they'll be like, oh yeah, hey.
Yeah. Hey,
here's the new,
really
here's
down.
That new.
Yeah. Okay, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So just, I think our last question, I know you said earlier, Saba asked you a conception about cannabis in concentrate areas, but what would you personally say is the biggest misconception of cannabis, marijuana, weed, like in general, like aside from dabs and concentrates, just the stigma? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we still live in America's heartland and the stigma is definitely still there.
Right.
And I think at this point it's getting put down on business owners and farmers and growers. There are still laws out there that don't protect dispensaries and growers from, say, like a school or church popping up right next to them. Well, guess what? They take precedence over that grow or that dispensary now. And that dispensary or that grow has to move.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that sucks. I think there's still some refining to our laws that we can do.
Always.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, and this is from our side too, people really take for granted we have the best system in the nation. I would probably argue the world. We really do. Oklahoma and 788 and the patients that fought for it and what we have is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a good system here that I think we need to protect that.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's really
solid.
That was
a really good answer. Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Proud of you.
You passed.
And for that, we get to take a dab.
Many dabs.
Well, John, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to hear? Or is there anything you else want to say before we close out?
Not really. I mean, you can hit me up on Instagram at grow405, grow.405, if you ever want to talk about growing stuff or dabs or anything.
Yeah.
I'm always down to help or, you know.
Take dabs.
Just, yeah, take dabs.
John Sekulis.
Aw, thanks for being here, John.
Thank you so much for being a part of our journey. We're very happy to have you.
Yeah.
And stay tuned for next week's episode of the Cannabis Hangout.